Hello, everyone. I'm going to warn y'all, I may have a coughing fit on you. I sound a little better than I did when I woke up. I have a cold. I got a cold while I was, I have had a week. So I left for Miami, what is it, Wednesday? I went to Miami a week ago, Thursday. So, like 2 weeks ago, tomorrow. And it snowed in Nashville. I got stuck in Miami, so I couldn't come home. And then Chris and I were going to Vegas this past weekend to meet a friend of mine who has been a Nobius woman since she was like one of the first 10 people to ever sign up. And so it was her 50th birthday. So we had been planning this big trip and everything. So I was like, well, I'll just stay in Miami since I can't get back to Nashville. I'll fly straight to Vegas and then, come home. And I came home Monday. And, it's just, if y'all don't know, I'm a big homebody. And I like traveling some, but it's not my favorite. So everybody makes fun of me because I am very routine. I don't like when I'm like y'all, like I don't like when my, well, and some of you are very spontaneous. I can be spontaneous in decision making and stuff, but I do not like my routines being broken. I just don't like it's agitating. The older I get, the more extremely frustrated I get. Like my brain tends to make it a way bigger deal than it needs to be. Like just call it menopause, whatever you want. But like I can get on a pity party when my routine is broken. So anyway, I'm traveling. I end up getting sick, and like at some point, I get a cold, and I've been just not feeling well the last few days. I'm tested negative for everything. So there's nothing, it's got to be just a cold. So anyway, I'm here. And today we're going to talk about discovery worksheets. We're going to talk about several things. I hope that all of you are loving the new discovery worksheet. I know a lot of you are joining this call. You are brand new to No BS. You just graduated from our workshop. This is your first Wednesday live call with the main group. So, welcome to all of us. One of the things that has changed is I updated the discovery worksheet. Let me give y'all some background. I've been watching y'all use the old one for a long time, and I could see all these confusion points that were happening. And I kept thinking, there's got to be a better way to help our members figure out what is going on behind their overeats. And so I just kind of started breaking it down in my head. And then I put out my ideas to actually Coach Lizzie, who's on stage with us. She'll be in the Q&A, which if you have questions, you can just pop them into the Q&A. We'll get them answered. Lizzie and Julie helped me kind of finalize it just based on their years of coaching and working with people, trying to lose weight and try to overcome overeating and stuff. And I just thought it would be easier for y'all if it was more like a decision tree versus just a lot of free writing and stuff. So, somebody said, is there a sound delay on the video or is it just my system? Y'all let me know if there's, looks like it could just be your system. It must be just yours because usually 1,000 people will comment if they're having problems. So what you might want to do is just go out and come back in. A lot of times that cleans Zoom shit up real quick. So, I wanted it to be more of a decision tree. And Lizzie, I don't know if you could, I don't think Yasmin's on. I'm having a hard time getting logged in today. I'm having problems with my computer, y'all. If somebody could link me to the actual discovery worksheet that's in Dropbox so that I can pull it up, if you could put it into Slack underneath, put it, I don't care where you put it. Put it in the oh my gosh, y'all. I'm so sorry. I like my brain. Look, listen how dead my brain is today. I can't even think. It's the monthly weight loss chat content. If you could just put the link in there, that will help me out. So, okay. So I wanted to do something with the discovery worksheet that just made it simpler and easier for all of you to figure out what goes on with your overeats. Because at the I truly believe this when it comes to weight loss, that it does not really matter what you eat. Honestly, I want all of you to imagine that for a hot second. Like, if you just believed, like, what I eat, now I'm talking for weight loss. I'm not saying that what you eat doesn't affect your health, your energy levels, a thousand other different things. But if we are literally just talking about losing weight, if you focus primarily on in the beginning, why am I eating when I'm not hungry and I've had enough? Most of you are going to lose a lot of weight focusing clearly on that before you ever even start considering things like, maybe I want to eat more healthy. Maybe I want to level up foods. Maybe I don't want to have Burger King 3 times a day. Like, before we get off and because what I see is the biggest obstacle for all of you when it comes, honestly, to losing weight is you want to change the food first, but you don't want to let go of the overeating. I will give you a personal example. I remember when I was losing my own weight, like letting go of the volume of what I was eating was really scary for me. Food had, it wasn't always just like when I think back to like me losing my 100 pounds, it wasn't always the actual foods I was eating. It was this satisfaction I got from being really full. And I had to really think about why that was happening. For me, there was safety in being really full. When I look back on why I would, even to this day, feeling full sometimes can feel very satisfying, can feel good. It's usually because it goes back to when I was a kid, not getting enough was a big thing. Like, there was never enough food to go around. We had, y'all know we were really poor. I remember being so hungry at times. I remember being in high school and my lunch, like, was Cheetos and a Dr. Pepper. That's all I could afford. My lunch had to come from the vending machine because I had a cool, but like, I think back then I had like $1.50 to spend each day. And I couldn't buy anything in the cafeteria for $1.50, but I could get a bag of Cheetos and a Dr. Pepper. And for breakfast, I could swing by Krispy Kreme and I could get 2 donuts for a dollar. And then I would eat Cheetos and a Dr. Pepper for lunch. And then by the time the evening came, even though, like, if you were to take the calories of what I was eating, I probably was on par with calories, but your body just can't efficiently use all that. And so at night, we would just eat our faces off. And then I would feel like, okay, now I can make it another day. There was so much relief in the sense of feeling full. So thank you, Lizzie. When I had to piece all that together, I had to figure all this out. And the reason why I'm sharing it with you is because when I was losing weight, I had to unlearn needing to feel full to feel good, safe, like I had enough. Like, and I mean beyond full. And I think what most of us are doing is we're trying to make it all about the food so that we can just keep eating as much as we want. Now, that's not everyone. I think some of you, it is the types of food and stuff, but when I've been doing all this research, trying to figure out if I could solve one, if I had to solve only one thing for every woman to lose weight, what would it be? And it would be the ability to stop it enough. That's it. Like, you could take away all the other basics. And if every one of us could stop at enough and really learn how to stop at enough, like, weight loss would get way simpler. Now, that is not to say that drinking your water and getting your sleep is not important. Please don't hear me say that. Like, oh, now I don't have to drink water and all this other stuff. I am not saying that. There's an exercise in business. They call it the Queen Bee Roll, where you think about like your business. And so you could do this with your household. You could do this with a lot of things because a lot of us have what we call competing priorities. Like everything seems important, right? It's like everything's equally important. Well, in business, this one book that I read, if you're interested in this and you're a business owner, or maybe you run a department or something like that, it's called Run Like Clockwork, and you want the latest edition. There's been two editions. They have you list everything that you do, and then you put them all on sticky notes. And then you remove half the sticky notes and you're just like, all right, we can't do these anymore. You can only do 50% of this now. What would you keep? So it forces your brain to start thinking about, okay, if I could only do 50% of all of this, here's the things that my brain thinks is important. All it's doing, this whole exercise is a hack to get you to prioritize, to just figure things out. Because most of us, when we're given equal priority, guess what we're doing? We're just not even trying to prioritize. We're just excusing and justifying keeping all the things and doing them half-assedly or always feeling overwhelmed. Then you take the remaining like sticky notes, you cut them in half again, and you keep going until you're left with one thing. And that one thing that's left is the one thing that all other things are dependent on. So like if you were doing like your household, like a lot of us, like we've got dishes and we've got laundry and we got all this other stuff, but these things that we have to do, probably at the end of the day, if you took everything away, it would get down to, I have to feed my family. Like if we had to go buy paper plates, we would. We would no longer ever have, we would not have dishes anymore. We would be a paper plate family. So dishes can go away. Like it just makes you see what is truly important so that that now becomes the important thing. So I've been thinking about this with weight loss and I've been like running through this exercise of, gosh, if there's like really only one secret to weight loss, really, what would it be? And it always comes down to enough because no matter what you end up eating, if you were only eating to enough, even if you started eating when you weren't hungry. Let's say that you were just barely hungry, not really hungry. But if you had the wherewithal to always know, like, I will always stop at enough. If you started eating when you weren't hungry, you would stop sooner because you would have the wherewithal to say, like, you know what? I noticed I wasn't even hungry. So I should stop now. Like, it would eradicate fuck it eating. Like, I just want you to think about all the things you would never need to plan. If you were really good at stopping at enough, we could do without planning. Now, I'm not giving, like, again, motherfuckers, please don't hear me and be like, I'm gonna throw away everything. Corinne said, just, I can just see it now in the Facebook group. Did y'all hear? Corinne said, there's only one basic. We all just have to stop at enough and nothing else matters. That is not what I'm saying. They all work together. But when we're thinking about prioritizing and you are all like trying to figure out why you're not losing weight, don't cuddle fuck shit like, well, it's because I'm not following my plan. It's like, well, first of all, are you stopping at enough? Literally, even if you're not following your plan, like this is what the discovery worksheet will teach you. Even if you break your plan, are you stopping at enough? Or when you break your plan, do you use that as an excuse to just eat your fucking face off? Well, I've already screwed up. Like, I just really think that enough thing is the thing. So when I started thinking about the discovery worksheet, I was like, we need to make this simple. They need to be able to dial in quickly, like, really what's going on. So what I want to do with all of you is I want to go through the discovery worksheet today. Just orally, just to make sure that we're all on the same page. And then any questions y'all have, please put them in the Q&A and I'll answer them. And Lizzie, you can leave me a few if you want. So let's just look at the discovery worksheet first. The first thing is you'll notice that what and when did I eat? If you are not sure, and this happens a lot, sometimes what we do is we want to do a discovery worksheet and we do it 2 or 3 days later. Mainly because we have a lot of shame. So like if you're a binge eater or maybe you like your overeats are really big and you kind of get into a shame spiral and stuff, your best first work is going to be to learn how to stop the shame spiral. You need to take in Pathways the diet, breaking diet thinking courses, because in order to be able to stop eating, like if you're binging, you're overeating or whatever, to be able to push pause and say, you know what, I've caught myself doing this. Even if you like say, you know, I'm just going to eat one more cookie and I'm done. Whatever it is, if you can't stop the shame spiral, then you're not going to be able to stop it enough. You're not going to be like, this is enough now. So like, let me explain what I mean by this. Let's say that you're binging, or you're in the middle of like four slices of pizza, and somehow you just tuned out. You weren't even binging. Okay, so let's all imagine. And then we wake up and we're like, oh shit, I've ate too much. I didn't even plan this. And our brain is starting, it's recognizing. Like, I want you to just know, I ate too much. This wasn't planned, whatever. That is not bad. We are not in an emotional shitstorm yet. We are just right now, we're just really recognizing, ooh, I wasn't going to do this. And here I am. I've caught myself. Okay. It doesn't get into shame until you start telling yourself, you've messed up. You'll never lose weight. You said you wouldn't do it, and here you are. You're never going to get your shit together. Whatever it is, like your flavor of bullshit, you've got to be able to say, you know what? I said I wouldn't do this. That is true. It is true that I've ate too much. I can feel it. But I refuse to beat myself up over this. I may not even be ready to learn from it just yet. My brain might want to make this a big deal, but here's what I've got to do. I've got to tell myself, and this is what I want you to think about. For some of you, saying it's okay is like, isn't that sweeping it under the rug? Sweeping it under the rug is, it's okay, I'll start again tomorrow. And you never really look at it. You never pop the hood to figure out what's going on. You're just in the eternal loop of, I'll start tomorrow. A lot sweeping it under the rug feels really good, usually. There's some relief to it and stuff. What I'm saying is, I don't like, I want you to feel compassion and patience with yourself, which is very different than sweeping under the rug. Compassion is, I know you're upset about this. I promise you, we're going to figure this out one day. There will, like telling yourself, it feels so hopeless right now. It feels so bad right now. But there is a day coming when you won't feel like this anymore. There will be a day we will figure out how not to do this anymore. There's going to be a day where this happens so infrequently, it's just not a big deal anymore. Like, that's what I'm wanting y'all to go to. I do not want anyone saying, I'll, you know, tomorrow I'll do better. You don't really learn unless you're going to wake up the next morning and really learn from it. Tomorrow, I'm going to do better, because the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to figure out really what happened here. If you're doing that, that's not sweeping it under the rug. But sweeping things under the rug is just telling someone, it'd be like if your kids are always like fighting, like, and you want to put a stop to it, you're going to have to talk to them about it. You can't just say, it's okay, we're going to start over tomorrow. Y'all just go to bed. We'll start over tomorrow. Like, if you never talk to them, if you never set boundaries, if you never figure out why they're fighting all the time, if you don't do any of that stuff, if you don't like sometimes we get angry a little bit and then you have to calm yourself down and stuff before you talk to them. Like, it's the same thing. You can't just be angry at yourself all the time and hope that you're gonna, I guess, be so pissed at yourself and yell at yourself enough and condemn yourself so much that you're going to get your shit together. And you can't go in the opposite direction, which is I'm just going to not address it. I'm just going to tell myself, like, tomorrow we'll start over. There's a middle ground, and where the middle is where understanding, compassion, like telling yourself it is okay and we're gonna figure it out, and like having those conversations, because that shame spiral will stop you from being able to stop eating. Because when the shame spiral starts, a lot of us, we want to get away from the asshole, so we eat more. It's like, well, I've already fucked up. You're never going to lose weight anyway. I might as well. And then we keep eating so that we don't have to listen to ourselves. And I want you to just insert a new conversation instead of inserting more donuts. Okay. So when I think about the discovery worksheet, like, and for all of you, I really want you to start focusing on the enough stuff. Where can I get better at stopping at enough? And sometimes stopping at enough means I've caught myself eating and I'm way past. Can I tell myself that's enough now? It might not be enough for weight loss, but I choose to stop here. This is now enough. And I'm going to solve for how do I get better at stopping at physical enough? Okay, let's look at the discovery worksheet. What and when and what did I eat? You can just guess if you need to. That is completely fine. This is not a perfectional, like, this does not need to be perfect. But one thing that I would do is list as much as you can. So, because what and when is going to give you a lot of insight into foods that are harder for you to stop eating. It's going to give you insight into time patterns that it's harder for you to be engaged with your food. So the purpose of that question is for clarity and for you to get to find patterns, because we all have patterns. Like, there are certain foods that are harder for me to stop eating because they do taste good once. And it's not like I'm a shit show emotionally. Like, when I eat nachos, I always know that I have to be very mindful when I'm eating nachos. They taste really good. I'm going to really be enjoying them. They're designed to, like, they're salty and all the things. They're designed to, like, they melt in your mouth a certain way to where, like, your physical response, you will want to eat more of them. And I just know that about it. It's not like this food controls me. I must be so broken or anything. It's like, no, there are certain foods that are easier to overeat than other foods. So if I know that, and I don't make that mean Corinne's a broke ass, if you're not sitting there thinking something's wrong with me because certain foods are tougher, then we look at it from a logical perspective. And we're like, okay, so when Corinne eats nachos, she needs to not, like, double fist. Which means I'm getting one, shoving it in my mouth, and I'm making old Lefty over here start digging around for the next one, primed and ready. It means I eat one and I give myself natural pauses. Like, when, if you ever watch me eat nachos, it's a slow, methodical affair. And I do that on purpose. It's like I want to enjoy the nachos and I don't want to go home and feel terrible about myself because I overate. I'm sitting there thinking about I would much rather eat slowly and give myself the opportunity to think through each bite than to wolf it down and then feel bad later that I didn't do what I would say. Okay? Because I don't want to have, my job, I always feel like in my job, is to figure out as many ways as I can stay out of having to coach myself out of shame. Because I know my brain. When I fuck up with food, it is going to want to beat me up. That is where it will naturally go every single time. And so if I fuck up with food, then I'm inviting a shame spiral to come on. And I don't feel hopeless there either. That's when that starts, I talk to myself. I'm like, shame, like this is not something we're going to be ashamed about. I hear you. We're going to figure this out. One day we will have more authority over these nachos. I have told myself that thousands of times. Most of the time now, when you watch me eat nachos, it's slow and methodical. But every now and then, if we're at the bar and we're watching football and I'm not necessarily paying attention, I'm like, oh, fuck, a few extra bites won't hurt. I will get to eating. And then I'm like, oh, that was too much. And then my brain likes to go to, how are you ever going to help people lose weight if you can't stop fucking eating nachos when you're supposed to? That's usually my, like, y'all think you got a flavor of asshole? My asshole is always, you aren't who you say you are. You let people down. You can't be a good role model. You're going to lose your business. Mine goes from like 0 to 100 real quick. It's like, first, here's you and you suck. Then it's like, and now you're going to lose everything. I love my brain. It just knows how to talk to me in all the ways. So, my job is to figure out what and when are the tough parts for me in my life when it comes to food. Where do I need to be more aware? And there are times when I don't have to be aware at all. I could eat breakfast every day and never overeat. Never. Like, it's just so natural to me to not overeat breakfast. Like, I have meals I don't have to think hard about. I have some that I still have to be very conscious and aware. And that's because I've watched myself over the years. I know the foods, I know the situations, I know the emotions. When I'm on vacation, I have, like, y'all, I could give a fuck about sweets most of the time. I've never been a big sweet eater most of my life. I was always more the savory. Get me on vacation. Suddenly, I want to order rooms. I'm like, let's order room service. And I'm looking at the dessert menu first. I'm like, who the fuck are you? So I know, like, on vacations, I have to be really mindful. I always tell Chris, all right, if we're going to have dessert, we're going to have it one night. And like, this is the night we should do it. If we don't do it that night, then I can do it another night. But I'm always trying to figure out, like, where are all of my patterns? Where are all of my habits? And instead of beating myself up for having them, for like, everybody in life has hard moments. Like, I just want you to think about life in general. There's just stuff in the world that are hard for all of us. And we don't beat ourselves up. Like, I can't hardly watch. I remember when I had Logan, before I had Logan, a lot of you moms will associate with this. Before I had Logan, I could watch like crime shows where little kids like were hurt or whatever. And it just like not bother me. It was just like, it was just a show. It just seemed like make believe and stuff. The moment I had my child, I was emotionally wrecked. We had to quit watching Law and Order. I couldn't watch SVU anymore. Like, I couldn't watch the news. They talked about a child being harmed. I would meet, like, my heart would almost stop. I'd start crying. Like, I was like, what the hell has happened to me? That mother instinct had kicked in. I still have it to this day. I always tell Chris, we go to a restaurant when there's a little baby crying, like really crying, and you can tell they're hungry. I am surprised I don't start milking. Like, I just want to go and grab the baby and throw it on my boob. Just like, I know there's nothing there, but try. Like, it just, it's very primal. So we, like, I would never sit and say, there's something wrong with you. Like, you get so bothered by that stuff. It's just awful. But when y'all look at your food patterns and what's hard for you, y'all demonize yourselves over it. That has to end too. You're never going to want to solve your problems if your problems mean something's wrong with you. Because then when you're solving the problem, you're having to face all this shit that's bad about you. And then we run from that. So I want you to think about with a discovery worksheet, we're all going to have foods that are tough. We're all going to have emotions that are harder, where we have to pay more attention when we're tired and stuff. And we're all going to have times and situations that it's just a little harder for us. That's okay. That's the purpose of the discovery worksheet, is so that we can walk into those situations now in those times, not just doing how we've always done. We go in more prepared, knowing this might be a harder time for me. So I want to be there for myself. I want to have ways to handle it. That's just my stuff, and that's okay. And eventually you unwind a lot of it. As the longer you stay in no BS, you unwind a lot of those things, and a lot of those things become a lot easier. A lot of those things are no longer triggering and stuff. But there will, I think, if you're going to be anything like me, and here I am, like 16 years in, I still have times it's just tough. I still have triggers. I think we all always will. I just want us to not feel bad about them and to get better at anticipating them and being able to handle them and roll with them. And if you get caught up in eating something, or you get caught up eating more than you need, that you know that that's normal and that you can just calmly stop. Because I know one thing that stops everybody from losing weight and keeps you on stalls and plateaus, and that's fuck it eating. All of you, I want you to ask this question. In the last, say, 3 months, if you'd only overate, but you'd never fuck it ate, how much weight do you think you would have lost? You keep your overeats, but you let go of the extra bites because you messed up. The finishing something because you've already blown it. The, oh, well, I broke my plan at lunch. I'm just going to start tomorrow. So you kind of ate like a donk the rest of the day. Like, I want you to really think about that. I really believe that this enough thing is something I'm going to really be preaching for a long time. All right, next question. Check the main reason that you ate. I was emotionally eating, or I ate out of habit, or it was mindless. This is a great question, because one of the things that I was thinking about for all of you is sometimes it's emotionally based, and sometimes we're just watching TV and we lose track. Sometimes we're just having a good time at a restaurant and we're not paying attention. Sometimes we're cooking dinner and we just haven't broke the habit of bites, licks, and tastes yet. Sometimes we're like fixing our plate and we just take a couple of extra bites. Not everything is an emotional eat. Sometimes we're just mindlessly eating, so we need to like come up with triggers to break our mindless eating. Sometimes it's just a habit. Like, for some people, it's just a habit to eat breakfast. They haven't even questioned if they're actually hungry. For some people, it's just a habit to have a snack at 3 o'clock, because every diet you ever did had a snack at 3 o'clock. You've never tried skipping it to see if you're actually hungry. That's just when you take your break. So everything is not super deep. And then sometimes I will tell y'all, you might see, and this is where I don't want you getting into perfection land. If you can't decide between the two, go with your gut. Do that for a while. Just be like, all right, I'm just going to pick one. It's either emotional, or it's habit, or mindless. And the more like it happens, you might notice, like, if it just keeps happening and you keep answering the questions, you might want to be like, maybe I should explore and see if this is actually the other side and answer those questions. So the thing is, you cannot go wrong here. And I know y'all's motherfucking brains. Y'all are going to think you can. Y'all are going to be asking in the Facebook group, I don't know. I get so stuck on the discovery worksheet. Is it emotional or this? I don't want to do it wrong. If I do it wrong, I'll never lose weight, blah, blah, blah. That is some bull fucking shit right there. You need to call your brain out for whining. Whining. We are whining. Here's what can't happen. I don't care if you get it wrong. The actual exploration of the questions will give you some fucking enlightenment. That's it. So if you listen to this and your brain ever starts that horse shit that somehow you're doing it wrong, you need to say, like, oh yeah, Corinne told me that was complete horse shit. And believe me over your brain. Because if your brain is trying to tell you that you can somehow dissect an emotional eat wrong, it's wrong. I am telling you 1,000%. Do not believe it. Whose brain do you trust more when it comes to your emotional shit? Mine or yours? Who has more perspective? Corinne's brain about your eating or your brain about your eating? Every single time it's going to be me. I will win every time. We won't talk about perfect. I'm going to have a perfect record in having more perspective on your shitty thinking about your overeating. So don't get caught in a loop of not doing the discovery worksheet because you might could do it wrong because you can't. All right. So then you just check, and then all you're going to do is, like, if you've identified it as an emotional eat, is what was I feeling? Feelings are one word emotions, and it could be many. It could be I felt stressed and tired. I felt overwhelmed and confused. I felt deprived and judged. Put as many feelings as you want. Usually there's a primary feeling, but it doesn't matter. Just put some feelings down. But feelings, just remember, it's like judged, stressed, angry, frustrated, deprived, restricted, not good enough. Even though not good enough is literally two words or three words, it still gets to count. Okay. Then you want to ask yourself, in that moment, what do I really need? So when I'm feeling judged, what do I really need? Sometimes it might be like, what I really need is to stop putting other people's opinions above mine. What I really need is to stop thinking other people's opinions count, matter. What did I really need in that moment? To know that I was worried about what a stranger thought. I was feeling judged by a complete stranger because I was like creating a lot of thoughts in my head. What I really needed in that moment was to tell myself, this is some fake ass shit you're doing. This is not real. So you're just going to ask yourself, like, if you're stressed, what do I really need? Talk to my boss about reprioritizing my duties. I tell my team all the time, I'm like, I don't want y'all stressed. If you're feeling stressed, come talk to us. Usually we can fix it. Most of the time when we're stressed, it's because we think we're doing a bad job. So we're stressing ourselves out. We actually have too many things going on, and our bosses don't know that they've put that much on us. So we need their guidance on, tell me what's most important to you, because I'll 100% do that. I just need to know, like, when you look at the list of things that I've got going on right now, what do you want me to do first? What do you want my best work to be on? Is there anything on here that you want me to wait on? Sometimes we just have to have these conversations. Sometimes, like, when you're overwhelmed, what did I really need? I needed to make a list of everything I've got going on and decide, is that, like, real? Sometimes we're overwhelmed. It's like, I just needed to get started on something. If I'd just gotten started on doing something, I probably would have felt better. So you just ask yourself, what do I really need? Then how can you meet that need without food? So we're going to identify what we needed to do. And then I was kind of telling you some ideas. Like, come up with some ideas on what could I be doing in those moments without food? Like, if you come home every day really, really tired and you're basically sitting on the couch eating, and what you're really needing is rest, then go to bed for 10 minutes instead of eating on the couch for 10. And what you like, how can I meet that need without food? Tell myself, this is, I don't need to feel guilty about this. And here's why. Because sometimes y'all are eating when you're tired and whatnot because you don't want to feel guilty for taking rest. You haven't learned how to know you deserve rest. What benefits besides weight loss will come from meeting this need? I think this is the most important question on here. Honestly, when it comes to the emotional side, I think what y'all have to do is really understand that when you stop meeting your needs with food, you start solving your life. You start seeing how your life gets better. Because that's what's going to make weight loss easier. Most of you, what you're trying to do is you're trying to just stop eating and not meet your needs. I've said this a thousand times, but I want y'all to think about it. When you're meeting your emotional needs with food and you do a regular diet, all they're doing is taking away the food, but they're also taking away the only way that you meet your emotional needs. And so then you're left dieting with all your emotional needs raw as fuck. That's why we end up quitting. So you never have to feel like you're a loser or anything when you've done other diets. I want to tell all of you this. Not a single one of you is a loser. It is rare that there's ever a diet out there that is asking you to, here, we are going to take away the way that you've been coping. But I want to also be teaching you how to cope with life, how to change your life. Because when you start doing, that's why I lost weight. I took away how I traditionally got through the day, my moods, my self-esteem. And I started working on putting in that I always tell y'all that walk that I took every day, it wasn't walking that an exercise that caused my weight loss. It was the only time I had for Corinne. And when I asked my husband, could I have that hour a day where I could leave Logan and just be with myself to exercise, I was meeting a need. I was feeling seen and taken care of. It had nothing to do with the food. It had nothing to do with the exercise. I was losing weight because for one of the first times in a long time, I was taking care of myself. And when that happened, there was a lot of other things that could happen. When I started talking better to myself, I didn't need my ice cream every night. When I would tell myself that, you're probably doing a better job than you think you are raising your son, I didn't need to sit and eat at night feeling like I was a terrible mother. When I started talking to Chris about how he was going to help me at night after working all day long, and he would say, please don't feel guilty about that. He would tell me, this is the time I get with the baby. Like, I don't get time with him. Now, it's been a whole year of my life thinking I was taxing him, being a bad mother, being a bad wife, like just all the stuff. And when I really started thinking about, like, this is not me being a bad mother. He wants to do this. This is not something to feel guilty about. Your husband gets no time with his child and he wants time with him. And this works for both of you. I didn't need to eat myself to sleep anymore. I didn't have to sit on the couch and just eat to escape feeling bad. So for all of you, like when we talk about like these benefits from meeting your needs, like you're gonna like, I want y'all to enjoy weight loss like I did. I wasn't enjoying my weight loss because I was losing weight. That's nice. I will tell all of you that's nice, but I had done plenty of diets where I'd lost 75 pounds. I'd lost like 75 pounds like 3 or 4 times in my 20s. And I didn't enjoy it because the conversation was not good. I was forcing it and willpowering it, and I'd had taken away my emotional coping mechanism for life. And so then I was just getting through life feeling really bad while losing weight. And then when I would weigh in, I'd have a blip of happiness. When I would put clothes on, I would have a blip of happiness, but then I would go right back to all the other problems that I was having. It never lasted. That's why, no BS, the way that we want to teach you is we want to take away the coping mechanism and put in the real things you need. Your eating is giving you a signal as to what it needs most in life. Our job is to help you identify it and then to help you grow the balls to go after it. All right. So then we have on the second side, I'm probably extra emotional today because I'm sick. This is for the habit and mindless eating. What triggered this habit or mindless eat? We're just looking for what could have triggered it. So for me, what can trigger a mindless eat is nuts in a can. Like if nuts are in a can, I can be triggered to mindlessly eat because if I take the can to the bedroom, it's just going to be harder for me to stop eating. I'm going to probably just kind of be going with it instead of putting it in a baggie. Mindless eating could be what triggered it, could be cooking. You need to come up with ways to kind of make things more apparent. So, when am I likely to do this again? So, we want to be thinking about like tomorrow night when I cook dinner. It could be like every night I tend to take snacks to the bedroom because that's just what we do. This may not even be an emotional eat. It may just be this is what me and my partner do every night. And so I'm going to be triggered when I see my partner toting his snacks into the bedroom. And then what can I do instead next time? So this is just where you start brainstorming. Like, how can you solve for this? What can you do to make things easier? Like for me, like Chris likes to eat in the bed. He likes to, my husband, I swear to God, is the most comical one individual I will ever meet in my life. I always tell him, like, how are we even fucking married? Because we are polar opposite. He eats a bag of Chex Mix every night. But here's the secret. It's keto Chex Mix. So in his mind, because it's keto Chex Mix, he's not, this would not be considered overeating or anything. And I'm like, really? Keto Chex Mix is now like, I don't know, fuel free, calorie free. But I will tell you, when he's over there noshing on delicious ranch flavored keto Chex Mix, it's tough. And I found myself for a few weeks, like not every night, just some nights. Well, just give me a little. Then the Corinne wasn't going face down into keto, but I tell you what, I was grab-assing. That mindless eating was coming up, and I didn't want it to become a habit. I didn't want because I knew his habit was going to be to have it every single night. So what I really needed to do was figure out, all right, how am I going to break this? And so one thing that I told him was that it would be a lot easier for me if that when you eat your keto Chex Mix, if you will at least roll to the other side, like don't face me. Like he was literally eating it and like he almost put the bag in my face and just like doing this. And I said, you know what? Number one, I never need to be eating your keto Chex Mix because he's eating it right after we have dinner. I'm like, I know me, I don't need it. If I want to have keto Chex Mix, I'll plan for it. But I'm ne I, like when I'm not tempted because he's eating it, like when it comes down to it every day, I'm like, I don't really want to plan for it. It's not worth it. Like it's tasty, but like if I have to like consciously say like, okay, do you want to put it on your plan and eat a little less of this and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, it's only worth it when it's extra. It's never worth it if it has to go on the plan and stuff. So that was like signal number one. This is definitely something I don't need. So I had him roll his ass over and say, butt up. Like, I don't want to see your bag. So you face the other direction and that will make it easier for me. And then I just told him, I said, here's the second thing. I'm probably going to cave and want some. I know me well enough to know that some nights I'm probably going to want to participate because it's going to look fun. And I love doing things with Chris. That's my big thing. Like, I like for us to do things together. And I always associate doing things together as connecting, like drinking and eating. So I just said, it's a no. You need to ask me, is that on your plan? And if it's not on my plan, just tell me no. If you really want some tomorrow night, put it on your plan and we'll have it together. And so I just told him exactly what to tell me. Guess what? I have not been grab assing the Chex Mix. So you want to like figure out the things. I'm going to tell all of you, I have no shame in my game on asking for help. I have no shame in my game on telling, like, I have like literally no shame in saying, like, I know me well enough to know I'm going to want it. I'm going to beg for it. I'm going to do these things. Here's how you can help me. The day that I got over, this is important for all of you to hear. The day I realized that my eating was not shameful was the day that I was able to get the help I needed from me and from others. But when I kept hanging on to the story that how I eat is wrong or broken or bad, shouldn't be this way, whatever that is, that prevented me from getting help from me and from others. There is nothing you're doing with eating. I promise, I don't care if you're a binge eater. My best friend is a binge eater. It all makes sense in some way. It could be learned behavior. It could be a thousand things. I promise all of you, there are like, I think 25% of our members are binge eaters. So you're for sure not alone. This is like a thing that lots of women have, lots of men have. This is not something for you to like feel that bad about. I know it's hard to let it go when it comes to our weight, when it comes to our food and all the things. It's hard for us to let it go because of society, but I promise you, society's just been wrong. And society is changing. You deserve help. This is just your thing that you need help with. Just like you might have one kid that needs help with math and one that doesn't. So when you start taking some of that shame down, you will be surprised at how much more help you can give yourself. And I hope the new discovery worksheet just really makes that a lot simpler for you. The last thing is, for both sides, what would you tell a friend who had the exact same overeat or off-plan eat? If you wouldn't beat up your daughter over it, if you wouldn't beat up your best friend, if you wouldn't beat me up over it, then don't beat yourself up over it either. That's the new discovery worksheet. So let me answer a couple of questions and then we'll get out of here. The discovery worksheet mainly for overeats, necessary off-plan eats, feel flexible if it still follows hunger and enough. Yeah, it's for the overeats. It can be an off-plan eat if y'all want to make this. If you want to use it for off-plan, that's fine too. You would just still like wasn't an emotional off-plan eat. So like for some like an example would be you're really tired, you don't feel like cooking, so you end up ordering pizza. Like it was like you weren't really making a equal choice. I will tell all of you, I like in the beginning for any time you break your plan or any time you overeat to do some type of discovery worksheet and stuff. Because a lot of you, I think what you don't want to do is like, well, I don't want to do it if it was necessary or whatever. I like to do it to teach myself there are times that this is necessary or that this is okay. But I also do it so that I don't end up conning myself. So it's kind of like a gut check. Then eventually, if you think like, you know what, I've got this on lock. I know when I'm shitting the system and when I'm not, then don't worry about it. But I, for all of you, if you're actively losing weight, there's nothing wrong with dissecting things as they're happening to reinforce that you're starting to make better decisions. Like, you know, this was an off-plan eat. Like I was supposed to like cook, you know, chicken and vegetables tonight. I was very tired, so we ordered Uber Eats and I ordered like a salad. You know, like you feel like I ordered a grilled chicken salad instead. Like in those moments, I want to high five myself and say, you know what? You kept your honor with what you said you would do. You honored your word. You may not have cooked, you may not have ate the exact same thing, but you were intentional. You really thought about it, and you did what like I want you just to say, like, I did what I know is a good decision. How did you get to the point where you figured out the connection with fullness and safety? Was it just through journaling? Journaling, lots of writing about like, why do I do this? Going back to my childhood. We talk a lot about that in the Breaking Diet Thinking series of courses. So if you're in the pathways, you can go to that pathway and find out like there, we talk more about that there. But for me, it was just a lot of journaling and just figuring out like, why do I love feeling full and trying to go back to like earlier times in my life when feeling full was like felt good, just trying to figure out why would I want to do that now as an adult. And then I just had to unwind, like, we're not like the biggest thing for me that has helped with fullness is to remind myself I'm not in that same position like I was when I was a little girl. It's a lot of reassuring myself, like, girl, there's plenty of food for you now. You actually can eat whatever you want. You have the money to buy the things that you need. Like that's not our life anymore. And it's just reminding myself of that over and over and over again. I am stuck on enough. I feel when I'm hungry, and then I feel when I am past full. However, I'm struggling on the middle where I notice I have just enough. Suggestions: eat less. Like seriously, if you're struggling with it, here's one way to do it. Whatever you normally serve yourself, serve 3/4 of that from now on. If you eat a protein bar past full, eat 3/4 of the protein bar. Like whatever it is. The best way to do it is to just start. Like, if you notice that you always eat past full, humans are very routine. We typically, you might want to blow through those. I've got to get off here to go to the next call, Lizzie. Humans are very routine and habit oriented. So, how you make your plate is probably how you make your plate every single day. So, you break the habit of making it the same way, so that you actually force yourself to eat less and you get conditioned to that until you figure out where enough is. That's my best tip for doing that. All right, y'all. That's it. I will see y'all on Sunday. I'm back for coaching. I'm back in town. I was out of town for 2 weeks, but I'll be back. So we'll be doing coaching this weekend, and I will see you then. Bye, y'all.